have him still, spend time with him, talk to him, ask him questions. I praise God that we still have my mom and her vitality and her love for Christ, but I miss my dad. And if I could just encourage you this morning as I think about that and thought about my dad this last week, if you still have one or both of your parents, how I encourage you to appreciate them, to thank them, to spend time with them and make the most of all that you have with them. Tell them how you appreciate them. Show them. Tell them how much you love them. Now, our passage this morning is Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 3. I'd like to read it for you, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, last week we covered point A, verse 1, obey your parents. Line up under their authority, listen, heed their instruction, their commands. But this morning we pick it up at letter B and we move to a different facet of the responsibility of children toward parents, and that is honor your parents. And so to read verses 2 and 3 again, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, following on the commands of verse 1, we need to understand this fact. At some point, the obedience of children toward parents ends, right? We get that. As a minimum, certainly with the marriage of our children, when they leave and cleave, when they leave our homes, when they're joined to another, then certainly at that point, they no longer obey us as their parents, if not before then. But for every one of us, whatever our age, if our parents are still alive, we will always honor our parents. So our obedience relationship certainly changes, but never this relationship of honor. That will never end as long as we have our parents. So some of you have parents maybe in their 70s, 80s, 90s, and you are still called by God while they are on this earth to honor them. So what does it mean? Honor your father and mother. Let's talk about point one then, honor. The Greek word means to value highly, to value highly, to respect. Now, if ever there was a countercultural command, then it's right here, because our culture treats the elderly, and especially parents, as bumbling idiots. Have you ever noticed that? Especially dads. Dads are always such idiots on the sitcoms, in movies. You know, they're certainly not people to honor or respect. And God's word says otherwise. The Greek word means to hold in highest regard. And both the noun and verb form of this Greek word are used with regard to our reverence and honor that we give to God the Father himself, to Christ Jesus our Lord. Now here's a key truth. Let's tie verse 1 and verse 2 together. The obedience of verse 1. What's the relationship between that and the honor of verse 2? And here it is. Listen now. Obedience is the action. That's verse 1. Honor is the attitude. That's verse 2. Action and attitude. And that reminds us that the heart is very much involved. This is honor. This is respect from the heart. It's not like the kid who said, yeah, I may be obeying on the outside. I may be submitting, but I'm standing up on the inside. No, that'll never do. That's not biblical obedience and honor. Now let's look at this whole concept then of honor, because as you know, Paul is quoting with some change from the Decalogue or the Ten Commandments. And that takes us then all the way back, look at letter A, to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Ten Commandments. That's the fifth one. You know that. I know that. Now, the first four commandments all relate to God. They're all horizontal commands. They're all about Israel's duty vertically to God as their creator and their redeemer. But then the next six, starting at Exodus 20, verse 12, all relate to man. They're all horizontal, human relationships. And the first of those six is the one that I just read to you. Honor your parents. Now, that's all that God says to children in the family, because that one principle alone, Exodus 20, verse 12, really summarizes and encapsulates and points out really everything that is sufficient when obeyed for children to establish a right relationship with their dad and mom. Honor your father and your mother. And further, that fifth commandment leads out for the following five, because it's necessary. It's the necessary precept, in fact, behind all human relationships in society. It's fundamental. It's foundational. That's why God puts it in that place, in the Decalogue or the Ten Commandments. It's in the home that people learn respect for authority. It's in the home that children learn obedience and submission, the honoring of others, the preciousness of others. How crucial then that that be learned right there. In Exodus 20, verse 12, that word honor carries the idea of giving weight to. Give weight to. Now, I was thinking about this because I saw Greg Garcia. Greg, you're feeling better, right? Now, I think that when you were in college in the 60s, that you used to say stuff like this, right? Like, that's heavy, man. That's really heavy. And you know what Greg meant back then in the 60s in college? He meant that's really significant. You know, you got to pay attention to that. That's weighty, right? Well, that's the idea here. It has the idea of heavy or weighty. In other words, give weight, not just to someone or something, but in this case, specifically to your parents. And in the Old Testament, that involves prizing them highly, caring for them, showing them affection, and of course, respecting them. Now, God was so serious about this command when he gave it to his people that he follows it up in the next chapter, in Exodus chapter 21, with verse 17. And he who curses his father or mother will surely be put to death. So, chapter 20, verse 12, honor your father and mother. Chapter 21, verse 17, it is a serious offense. It is a capital offense leading to capital punishment and death for those children who curse father and mother. Now, I'm not saying today we still, you know, apply Old Testament, the Old Testament penal code. We call it, you know, penology, and no, we're not under Mosaic law. But just to emphasize how serious God looks at honoring parents as well as dishonoring or disobeying them. Over in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3, we read, "Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father." Did you get that word? Every one of you shall reverence, revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Now, that's interesting to me because God, on the one hand, talks about the honoring of parents and then joins it with the honoring of himself. Those two, reverencing, respecting parents, is just tied together with reverencing God himself. And that just goes to show us that you can't separate those two. All authority is given by God. We revere God. We reverence God above all, but we also respect, honor parents. Those two are tied together. And then you remember the second law. That's what Deuteronomy means. The second time now that the law is given, it's being given by Moses in the book of Deuteronomy before the people of Israel go into the promised land. They're in the plains of Moab. And so Moses repeats the Decalogue in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. He says, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now again, you can imagine, here are the Hebrews. They're about to go into the promised land, finally. And that would catch their attention. Moses says, do you want to live a long life? Yeah, who doesn't? And do you want to enjoy the privileges of the promised land? Do you want to stay in that promised land? You will do so by obeying God and specifically by honoring your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged, that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. And you remember how God again and again threatened his people. If they obeyed him, he would allow them to enjoy the land. If they dishonored God, the land would spew them out. He would take them right out of the promised land and send them off into captivity. So that had an especially weighty reminder to them. Okay, we're about to cross in. We want the Lord's blessing. How do we stay under the blessing of God? Honor your parents, and then it will go well for you. Honor them. Now notice letter B next. Malachi. Where in the world is Malachi? Well, it's easy enough. It's right before the book of Matthew. It's the last book of the Old Testament. And this caught my attention this last week. I wanted to read for you Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. Listen to how God reasons. He said, a son honors his father. Did you get that? A son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? This is God talking. And if I am a master, where is my respect? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? Do you see how, on the one hand, God joins honor and respect, right? Those are synonyms. And what's the opposite of that? Despising his name. Not honoring his name, but despising it. But what I wanted to point out is that it's just assumed by God. A son honors his father. That's the first part of the verse. Parents are honored. And God, who is the father of the nation of Israel, says, where's my honor? I mean, it's a given. Children obey and honor their parents. Where's my honor as the father of the nation? And he's arguing from the lesser to the greater. The honoring of parents is assumed by God himself. And then as we continue and move along into the New Testament, then Jesus picks up this whole concept of honoring, and he gives it an application that maybe we would not have thought of. But it's in Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 to 6. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem, saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Jesus says, let me tell you something. You guys are so focused on the minutiae, you're missing the bigger issues. You're a bunch of hypocrites. Verse 3. And he answered and said to them, and why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, and then he now quotes from the Decalogue, the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. And he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. Those are the two sides. There's the honoring, or on the other end of the spectrum, the despising, right? But you hypocritical Pharisees, we could interject, but you say, whoever will say to his father or mother, anything of mine you might have been helped by has been given to God. He is not to honor his father or his mother. And thus you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You sound so spiritual and holy, but you're a bunch of false hypocrites, given to false justifications and rationalizations. And so Jesus exposes their heart. And he teaches us that the honoring of parents involves helping them materially and financially in their old age. You see, these Pharisees were coming along, and these religious leaders, they were saying, oh, you know, anything that I could have given to help my parents, oh, listen to how spiritual this is. Corbin, it's devoted to God. I am so holy. And it was so wicked. It was their way of getting out from under their responsibility to care for the financial, the material, and physical needs of their parents. Interestingly enough, Paul picks up this very issue later in the New Testament in 1 Timothy chapter 5. We're not quite there yet on Sunday evenings, but we'll be there before too long, Lord willing. He says in 1 Timothy 5 verse 8, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, his own household members, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Imagine that. Paul says, even non-Christians get this, that they're supposed to provide for their families. If you don't take care of your own family, you're worse than a non-Christian. And then in the verses that follow, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, 9 and following, he talks to the church about how the church and families should meet the financial needs of widows. It is that important, and that's so much, very much so involved in honoring. So then Jesus and Paul teach us that honoring parents includes caring for their physical needs, their material needs. And certainly we who are older have experienced this over time. Really, in many cases, a role reversal over time. They changed you early on, and later on, you may very well be changing your parents, right? They fed you early on, and you may end up feeding them. And I do remember my own dad on the last day of his life on this earth, a special memory that I was able to feed him, you know? I was there with mom and my brothers and sisters and my kids who were alive at that point, and I got to feed dad and just care for dad. And you may very well, if you're not there now, you will most likely, as you get older, you will find yourself in that role of caring for your elderly parents. We see it. I mean, I was thinking about my dad this week. He was such a strong man, World War II veteran in the Navy, you know. I can think of this young teen man going off to war. And then over time, I saw dad slowing down, and then his shoulders hunched, and then his body hunched, and pretty soon confined to bed, and then now with the Lord. And so in that, we know there will be a way for each of us in the very specific meeting of needs to honor our parents. Now we go back to Ephesians chapter 6, and reading it again, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And that's point two. And this really emphasizes to all of us as children with living parents, regardless of what our culture may say or do, here's the expectation by God Himself. Here's what He expects of us, and that is that we honor our parents. It is not optional. It comes with God's very authority. And then point three, notice the first commandment with a promise. Now, in what sense is this fifth command of the Ten Commandments of the first commandment with a promise? And the answer is it is the first or beginning of many commandments in the Torah dealing with our horizontal relationships. And of all of those horizontal responsibilities, of all of them, it is the first one with a promise. Now, the promise really is staggering when you think about it. And I'm glad that I didn't say this. God Himself said this, because could you imagine one of us saying something like this? Here's the promise. If you honor your parents, it will be well with you, and you will live long on the earth. What a shocking promise. I mean, we're all about living long, prolonging our life expectancy, right? Eating the right way, you know, exercising, being careful, avoiding this and that. And yet, how many people has Dr. Oz said this one? You know, here's what I really encourage you to do, listening audience. Obey your parents. Honor them. Have you ever heard that? You're not going to read that in the diet exercise books. But here in verse 3, Paul adapts the Old Testament promise. And what he does is he reapplies it. He universalizes it now to his Christian readers, not under Mosaic law, but it's subsumed. It's taken up under the law of Christ. Now, maybe you picked it out when I read from the Decalogue. Under the Old Testament promise, it related to the land of Israel, like I said. So there was a promise that they would continue to remain in the land of Israel, the promised land, and enjoy its benefits as the nation of Israel. Here, Paul, under the law of Christ, universalizes this, reapplies it, and says it will mean long life on this earth. Not just for Jews, but for us as Gentiles. And what a promise. I mean, it's a staggering promise that there will be a full life to those who honor their parents and a long life. You got it right back there. It's worth screaming over that one. To obedient children who honor their parents. And I say to you, believe it because God says it. And be stirred, therefore, to follow the command of verses 2 and 3. Now, it's interesting to me because I told you we, as a family, go through the book of Proverbs, and I've been going through Proverbs a lot the last couple weeks. And this whole teaching of longevity, you obey, you have a longer life. You disobey, your life will be shortened. That's not just in the Decalogue. That's not just in Ephesians 6. But I just wanted to point this out. This is some typical teaching in Proverbs as well. Let me read for you. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. My son, you see, because parents are the primary teachers, Solomon now, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments for length of days and years of life, and peace they will add to you. Isn't that interesting? You want to live a long time? You want to have peace in your life? Obey the commands of God. That's exactly what he's promising. And then over in chapter 4, verse 10, hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. Now, where do you hear that? Apart from God's word, you never hear that in the world. Okay, here's my recipe for living a long time. I mean, you ever notice that? They go to, the oldest is maybe 116, I think I last read. Maybe? Okay. And they always go to these folks. How did you do it? You know, what's your recipe for living a long time? And they might talk about, you know, I didn't smoke, I didn't chew, I didn't go with girls or do, or whatever it was, you know. But I've never heard one of those, you know, 116, 117 plus people say, you know what? It's right here in the Word of God. Honor your parents and you'll live a long time. Obey the commands of God. And God will give you a long life. In fact, in chapter 10 of Proverbs, verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Just cut short. And I told you not to pick on a group in a sense of hatred, right? Because see, today in our culture, you can't say anything negative before people say, well, you just hate that group. I do not hate homosexuals, but I told you last week that the average life expectancy of those who practice homosexuality is 42. I mean, think about that. The average life expectancy, 42, when the average life expectancy of people in the United States is, you know, high 60s, low 70s. I don't know what it is exactly, but 30, 40 years more. And so it is with honoring parents. Now, with all of that, then, let me just make a few points of application, okay? Look at point one there. Here it is. Be proud of your parents. Be proud of your parents. That's actually the word used in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6. I love this verse. It applies to me now. Grandchildren are the crown of old men. See, now I get to read verses like that and say, yeah, I'm in that group. All right. Grandchildren are the crown of old men, and the glory or the pride of sons is their fathers. Right? Now, I say to you this morning, even if your dad, mom, both of them, even if they're unsaved, even if you think, wow, they're just so disobedient to God, I'd encourage you to look for admirable qualities in their lives. Now, why would they be there? Well, because of God's common grace. Even if they're unbelievers, there are things that God does in their lives. For example, with my own dad, I'm so thankful. I mean, could you imagine the responsibility of 12 children, right? And my dad provided. He worked hard for our family. He was an example of a very hard worker. And I am thankful, though I wasn't at the time, that he disciplined me when I was sinful. He didn't let me get away with my sins. Oh no, you did not when you were one of the seven Phillips boys, okay? Dad kept us in line. So be proud of your parents. And point number two, see the benefits of godly parents. For example, in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, a righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. Do you have a parent? Do you have both parents who have lived righteous lives? They have left a legacy to you that will bless you after them. In Psalm 112, verses 1 and 2, we read these words, "Praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed." Do you see that? You live a righteous life and you'll bring blessing to your descendants. And you think, but I'm the first one, maybe. You might be the first believer in your lineage, right? Now, in my mom's case, she had a godly grandma, right? And then my mom, and then the gospel came to our family. And for us kids now, you know, 9, I believe, of us kids, the 12, know the Lord. Okay, so we're starting fresh, right? And there's been so much for us to learn. We are leaving a legacy to our own children. Point three, know the judgment God has promised to children who dishonor their parents. And there are so many of these threats and warnings. Let me just give you some of them. Proverbs 19:26. "He who assaults his father and drives his mother away is a shameful and disgraceful son." In fact, under Mosaic law, that would lead to stoning. Proverbs 20:20, "He who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness." Chapter 30, verse 17, "The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother," and listen to this, "the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it." Wow, that's pretty graphic. We've all seen that mocking, sneering, proud eye toward parents. And God says, you know what? Yeah, I'll catch up and I will bring judgment to those who dishonor their parents. Exodus 21:17, Deuteronomy 27, verse 16. Let me read that one to you. "Cursed is he who dishonors his father or mother." And all the people will say, "Amen." So in response to the commands of God, at the end of the giving of the law, the second time by Moses, the people were to line up and hear the blessing and affirm the blessing, and also to affirm the cursing that God promised to them for disobedience. Look at point four. Appreciate your parents and thank them for all they do for you. This is just a great opportunity for us to step back and say, Lord, thank you for my dad and mom. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now we all know we're tested by our families. It's difficult. Maybe you struggle in your relationship with your parents. Maybe you're long ago out of the home. Maybe you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s. Dad and mom are in their 70s, 80s, 90s. And there's a real stress in that relationship. And my challenge to you, even so, is to appreciate them and thank them for all they do for you or did do for you, perhaps many years ago. How they love you, encourage you, teach you, sacrifice, provide, serve, help, guide, correct, countless hours, their sports, musical instruments, and so on top of education. I've told this before, but whenever I think of that, I think of the times that when I was at USC, for example, waking my mom up. Talk about selfish. Waking my mom up at like 3 or 4 a.m. saying, "Mom, I never learned to type. I just never did. Mom, I have this paper due today. Would you please type it for me?" I can't say I just did that one time. I think I did that Haman multiple times. You know, back before there were word processors, you know, computers, it was the regular typewriter. Some of you don't even know what those are, right? Now here's a sarcastic and revealing quote. I've shared this before. I wanted to share it again. Children, tired of being harassed by your stupid parents? Act now. Move out. Get a job. Pay your own bills while you still know everything. Isn't that great? That's worth repeating at times for kids. It's very sarcastic, but boy, does it cut close to home in some cases. Lastly, treat your parents, point five, with special love, special attention, and special respect. That's what it means to honor them. Reverence, a sense of preciousness, the highest possible respect for a human being. Very practically, look at the checkpoints there. Give them special place in your life. Okay, now this is really important. Something as simple as talking to them. I just said that to our chapel kids this week. Just even talking to your parents. Going beyond that, asking for their advice. Sharing, confiding in them. Answering their questions with more than one word, right? Asking them to teach you God's word. Asking them to pray for you and pray with you. In other words, a special place in your life. Look at that second point. Don't ignore them getting into your own little world. Get into your dad and mom's world. Now, there's quite a thought, isn't there? Right? But think about that. I especially am thinking of you kids who are still in the home. Do you ever just stop and ask your dad and mom, how are they doing? What are they struggling with? What are their needs? What are their concerns? What do they enjoy doing? How can you spend some time doing something that they enjoy with them? Isn't that a novel thought? And then lastly, love them, serve them, and pray for them, and include them in your life. And as we think about that first part, loving them, here's a verse that I want to mention, 1 John 3:18. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. It's good. You know, tell your parents you love them. That's great, right? I mean, we kind of take that for granted. I've told you before that Donna's grandma, Oma Zimmer, she told us growing up, she never told her kids that she loved them. She said, we just didn't do that. You didn't tell your kids you loved them. Right? But they knew that they were loved. Okay, so now we're the other side. We say, I love you all the time, but often we don't show it, right? And that's what John is after in 1 John 3:18. Let me read it again. Let us not love with word or with tongue. Don't just say, I love you, but love in deed and truth. So think through practical ways of showing love to your parents. That can be certainly giving them a hug, being affectionate, asking them how they're doing, what are their needs and hurts and challenges, serving them. What can you do for them? Especially as they get older, they will have many needs. Getting things for them, running errands, helping around the house. I challenged our chapel kids, I said this summer, every day I gave them kind of a boot camp, I called it, you know, Pastor Paul's challenge boot camp for the summer. And one of those points is I said, just do something around the house that you're not even asked to do. And that's my challenge to you as children in our gathering this morning. This summer, before dad and mom, you know, the garbage is just overflowing onto the kitchen floor and you walk by it 5, 6, 10 times, before mom and dad pointed out, just take out the trash, right? The dog needs to be walked, just go do it, whatever it is. Practical ways to serve and meet needs and come alongside of your parents. Getting things, helping around the house with older parents, it may be computer skills, doctors, medications, and on and on. Often it's just fix-it needs, isn't it, right? And pray for them, notice that, pray for them. If you don't have believing parents, pray for their conversion. If they know the Lord, pray for their growth and their needs. Ask them specifically what you can pray for. And then take the time to pray with them right then and there. And include them in your life, time talking with them, sharing your life, asking their advice, involving them in the person that you are. That's certainly how we can honor our parents. Would you bow your heads with me as we close today? And as we do, I want to ask you to think about your parents. If you have one or both still alive, maybe there are step-parents. Maybe your parents are very young. Maybe they are middle-aged. Maybe they are getting up there in the years. And I want to ask you to pray for them right now. Just take a moment silently to pray for your dad, to pray for your mom, to pray for the needs in their lives. If they don't know the Lord, to pray for dad or mom's salvation. And as you pray for the needs of your parents, spiritually, physically, whatever it might be, pray now and ask the Lord to make you a loving servant, humble towards your parents, so that you would be able to come alongside of them and appreciate them and honor them and serve them and meet needs in their lives. And ask the Lord to give you wisdom about what those needs actually are, and a heart to do that, to serve and help and love in honoring your parents. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of our parents. Some of us still have both. Some of us have one. Some of us have none. But we are grateful for all that you built into our lives through our parents. Even if they didn't know Christ or didn't know Jesus till the very end with my dad, yet we are thankful for them. And how we thank you for our parents that we still have, how I praise you and thank you for my mother and my mother-in-law, how I thank you for their godly impact on our lives, how we desire, even today and into this week, to honor them, to love them and serve them and help them and appreciate them. And a million and one other applications that the Holy Spirit will lay on our hearts in response to your word, our great God. Be magnified in our homes. Be magnified as we hear and obey, as we do your word, to the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.